Morning. Today's daf in Pesachim Nun Dalet. We are Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We are starting today with the words Amar Avinu Amar Shmuel. It's a little bit after the Mishnah. Fourth parak here in Pesachim, we're discussing Minhagim. Various Minhagim that are adopted, not universally, but by various communities. The discussion has been what happens when you go from one community to another, and what do you do in terms of upholding your Minhagim, in terms of respecting, honoring the minhag of the community that you're currently in right now. So that is the basic idea of the fourth parak. And in the fourth parak of Pesachim, it's really interesting because we get to see various minhagim that were accepted by certain communities amongst the Jewish people. So one of the minhagim that we are in the middle of discussing right now, we just did the mission yesterday, is the minhag of having a light on Yom Kippur. We're not talking about the light in the shul. Light in the shul, I say light. Obviously, we're referring to fire. We're referring to some sort of lantern. So to have it in the shul, obviously, you need it. In other words, you need to see what's going on in shul. You need to see the machzor. So that, the Gemara said yesterday, obviously, you're going to do. We're talking about light in the house, and specifically in the bedroom. So should there be a light on in the bedroom? So as we pointed out yesterday on Yom Kippur, there are five inuyim. There are five abstentions that one has to have on Yom Kippur. One of them, of course, is Tashmish Shemita. And so therefore, in order to make sure that one is not being Mishamish Shemita with his wife, so should the light be on or should the light be off? So there are two attitudes towards this issue. And each of the minhagim, the Mishnah points out that yesh v'yesh. Some have the minhag of having the light on, some have the minhag having the light off. They just simply had a disagreement of what would be more effective in terms of trying to prevent Tashmish Shemitah. But regardless, whichever minhag it is, that was the various minhagim. We are going to be starting our Gemara today, and we're going to be talking about the light that light that we have after Shabbos and after Yom Kippur. The Birchas HaOr, halach l'maisa. Gemara is coming up. Let's get underway. The Gemara starts off. Amar Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, in mevarchin al or ela b'motzei Shabbos, hol v'tchias b'riasahu. So as far as making the bracha on fire, so we're going to do so, but only after Shabbos, meaning on Motzei Shabbos. So Motzei Shabbos is the only time that we're going to be making a bracha on fire. Now, it's interesting because every time we look at fire, especially at night, so we're getting benefit. It's hana. So one could have made the argument that you're going to make a bracha every single time you see it. If the bracha of Ma'ori Ha'ish is a bircha zananin, so then you should make a bracha every time you see it. So what you could argue, the Gemara is really not clear about this point, but what you could argue is that the bracha of Or is not a bircha zananin, but some other type of bracha. Maybe a brachas shevach, really unclear exactly how to categorize it. But what the Gemara is clear about is that the only time that you make a bracha on the fire is only going to be on Motzei Shabbos. And the Gemara gives a reason. The Gemara says, hol v'tchilas b'riasohu. Well, you know, that's the first time the fire was created, as we're going to be seeing over the course of today's daf. So we're going to be talking about when fire was first introduced into the world, a big part of today's Amud Aleph. So we are assuming right now that fire was first created on Motzei Shabbos. And when we say created, by the way, what does that mean? So later today, we're going to be a lot more clear. And what we're going to point out is that Adam put it together, but Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam the Chachma in terms of how to do it. Whatever the case is, Motzei Shabbos is the first time the fire was introduced into the world. So when we light a fire on Motzei Shabbos, every Motzei Shabbos, so we're going to make a bracha on that fire because it commemorates the Haschalas Habriyah of fire. So Yochanan. So an elderly said, and some say it was Rabbi Barachana, says it gives him a big yeshakalach, meaning to Rav Yehuda Meshmuel said over this halacha, that was fantastic. And V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan said the same thing as well, totally endorsing this position. Okay. Gemara now tells the following episode. Ula havarachav chamara. So Ula was riding on a donkey, v'azol v'havashakal v'azol Rabbi Abba miminei. And Rabba Rabba Chana Mismalei. Ula was flanked by two Amorim, Rabbi Abba on his right side, Rabba Rabba Chana on his left side. Amorlei, Rabbi Abba, Laula. So Rabbi Abba made the following statement to Ula. Vade da Amrisa Mishmed Rav Yochanan. You know, I heard the following in the name of Rav Yochanan. And that is Ein Mevarchin Alor, Labem Motzei Shabbos, Hovet Chalas B'Yasahu. So I heard B'Shem Rav Yochanan that the only time that you make a bracha on the fire is on Motzei Shabbos, because that's Tchilas B'Yasahu. The first time it was created. Good. So Rabbi Abba now thought to inform of Ula, you know, this is a fantastic memory that I heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Now Ula was not as impressed. Hadar Ula Chaza Be Rabba Barbachana Bishas. Now remember, Rabbi Abba was to the right of Ula. Rabbi Chana was to the left of Ula. Rabbi Abba made the statement, which didn't sound particularly controversial. Rabbi Abba made the statement to Ula about Rav Yochanan making a bracha on fire, Motzei Shabbos, you know. And so Ula was really not pleased with what he just heard. So Ula now turns to his left. He turns to Rabbi Chana, and basically he gives Rabbi Chana a look. A look that basically said, I don't like what I just heard. Okay, why doesn't he look directly at Rabbi Abba? So possibly, if he were to look directly at Rabbi Abba, like he wouldn't be able to really hide his displeasure, and he didn't. He didn't want to show his full displeasure, possibly. But whatever the case is, he turned to Rabbi Chana and gave him a look. So Amrei analav aha Amrei. So Rabbi Chana says, look, don't look at me. I'm not going to support Rabbi Abba in that statement. I do have a statement in the name of Rav Yochanan, but that's not the statement. Elaha Amri, didnik tanakame de Rav Yochanan. Rabbi Chana says to Ula, here's what I know. I know that a certain Amora said a Braisa in front of Rav Yochanan, and the Braisa was Rav Shimon ben Elazar Amar Yom Kippur Shchalios b'Shabbos. Af b'makom sh'amru shelo lahadlik malikim imnei kvod ha-Shabbos. So the following halacha. Look, we just went over in our Mishnah that there are various minhagim whether you light on Yom Kippur. You light a fire for Yom Kippur. So some do, some don't. Good. But what if Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide? So under those circumstances, so I heard b'shem Rav Yochanan that even if your community minhag is not to light for Yom Kippur in general, but if Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide, and we know that there's a mitzvah to light for Shabbos, so even in that community, you're for sure going to light for Shabbos. Good. So that's what I think is, that's what I heard b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. V'ani Rabbi Yochanan Basrei v'chachamim Osrim. And Rabbi Yochanan said, oh, that's interesting. Good. I hear Rabbi Yochanan heard the Braisa. Now the Braisa was said b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So it could be that somebody's arguing with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And Rabbi Yochanan says, it's not that it could be, it is. The Chachamim argue with the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and they say that even in such a circumstance, when Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide with one another, if your minhag is not to light on Yom Kippur, so then you don't light even when Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide. Okay, good. So that was the statement that was said b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Amarle. So when Ula hears that, meaning that statement of Rabbi Yochanan, he says adatahe. He's like, I'm with that. That is a correct statement that was said b'shem. Rabbi Yochanan, Kareila Rabbi Yosef. Now, on the story that what did we just see together? So we saw that Ula was traveling between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Chana. Rabbi Abba made a statement. Ula was so unpleased with the statement. Now he flashed a look to Rabbi Chana, and Rabbi Chana immediately understood. So on all this, Kareila Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, "Mayim amukim eitzah b'leiv ish v'ish tivuna yidlenu." So the pasuk in Mishlei describes how deep water is belevish, it's in the heart of a man, and ish tzvuna yidlenu, and a smart man is able to draw that water. Okay, a somewhat cryptic pasuk in Mishlei, but here is an application of this pasuk. Maima mukim eitzah belevish de'ula. So as far as deep waters are quiet or silent, so that's a reference to Ula, meaning Ula was able to communicate his displeasure, and he didn't even have to say anything. He just simply flashed the look, and that was sufficient. The ish tevuna yidlenu zed Rabbi Chana. And as far as being able to draw this water, so Rabbi Chana perfectly understood that when Ula flashed him a look, so Rabbi Chana said, "Yeah, you know what? He's right. I'm not with that statement of Rabbi Abba." Okay, good. So we had a back and forth between Ula and Rabbi Chana, an unspoken communication. And Rav Yosef says you that now you understand the pshat and the pasuk and Mishlei. Anyway, v'inu kaman savrua. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So now, so Ula and Rabba, who did not want to yield, who did not want to agree with Rabbi Abba, right? Rabbi Abba made this unbelievably controversial statement, which to us, by the way, is not that unbelievably controversial, but Rabbi Abba made the statement that the only time that you make a bracha on or is only on Motzei Shabbos. So Ula was very unhappy with it, and Rabbi Chana was unhappy with it. So the Gemara now wants to know what's their position. So Ve'inu Kaman Savru Ki Hadam Rav Binyamin Bar Yafes Amar Rav Yochanan. So they follow the following memory, which by the way also goes back to Rav Yochanan. And now we understand, by the way, that when Ula heard the statement, so he was so upset because he had another Misora in the name Rav Yochanan, and now we're seeing it right here. And that is Mevarchen al Or, Bein Be'Motzei Shabbos, Bein Be'Motzei Yom Kippurim, V'chein Am Devar. So his tradition that he received, B'Shem Rav Yochanan, is that you're going to make a bracha on Or, both on Motzei Shabbos and on Motzei Yom Kippurim as well. V'chein Am Devar, and that's the minug, except the minug is to make a bracha on Or, both on Motzei Shabbos and on Motzei Yom Kippur. And that's why he was so unhappy with the statement that was originally reported in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that the only time you make a bracha on Or is only on Motzei Shabbos. It's not true. You also make a bracha on Or on Motzei Yom Kippurim. Okay, now, the Gemara is going to note that even though we just learned together you make a bracha on Motzei Shabbos and Motzei Yom Kippur, they're not exactly the same brachas or. Meaning the nusach bracha is the same, but the reason why we make the bracha is not going to be exactly the same. Meisvei. The Gemara challenges with a brisa and mevarchen al orel, but Motzei Shabbos hol v'tchilas b'riyasuhu v'kevin sheroah mevarch miyad. So here in the brisa, says very clearly that the only time you make a bracha on or is only on Motzei Shabbos, because that was tchilas b'riyasuhu. Motzei Shabbos was the first time that or was created. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Sojan Alakos, Rabbi Yehuda says that what you're going to do is that you're going to organize your brachas and you put it alakos, meaning like what we do by Havdalah. So we make a brachas of Yain and we bundle together in that bracha of Yain and Havdalah, we bundle together in that bracha, the bracha of Or and of Besamim, and we put it, and we do it all al hakos. Now, Vi'am Rabbi Yochanan Alachik Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan says that's in fact halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda, which is that we bundle. We take the bracha of Or and Besamim, we put it together in the Havdalah al Hakos. Good. What comes out now over here is something a little bit difficult, because we said that B'Shem Rav Yochanan, again, this was Ula and Rabbi Chana's understanding of Rav Yochanan, and this is the report of Rav Yochanan that was given to us by Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes. And that is that you're going to be making a bracha on Or, both on Motzei Shabbos and on Motzei Yom Kippur. Meanwhile, we just quoted a brisa. The brisa says that you're going to make a bracha on Or, but only on Motzei Shabbos. And Rabbi Yochanan says, and that's the halacha. And specifically the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, in which you're going to bundle. So, lo kasha kamba Or, Shabbos kamba Or, hayotze min ha'itim u'min ha'avanim. So the Gemara says, yes, it's true that Rabbi Yochanan does subscribe to the brisa that you only make a bracha on Or on Motzei Shabbos. And yes, it's true that Rabbi Yochanan says that you're also going to be making a bracha on Motzei Yom Kippur. So how does all this pan out? So it depends on the kind of or. So as far as the or in Motzei Shabbos is concerned, that's or hayotze me'etim of avanim. Or you create. Or the fire that you start on Motzei Shabbos, so that's the bracha you're going to be making on Motzei Shabbos. And again, it makes sense. Because as we said now, repeatedly, the idea is that on Motzei Shabbos, the fire was created for the first time by Adam Arishon with the Eitz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, every Motzei Shabbos, we're commemorating that first fire. So therefore, we're going to make a bracha on a fire that we started. On the other hand, what about Motzei Yom Kippur? So now we can ask a question which, frankly, we could have asked 10 minutes ago. And that is, why would there even be any kind of impetus whatsoever to be making a bracha on Motzei Yom Kippur? Meaning, fire was created on Motzei Shabbos. Fire was not created on Motzei Yom Kippur. What's the bracha on fire on Motzei Yom Kippur? So what it is the idea of the following. On a standard yontif, so you're allowed to use a fire. Okay, starting a fire on yontif is asur midrabbanan. Wait till we get to Masech Tebeit, so we'll talk about that in more detail. But anyway, but using a fire, transferring a fire, all mutter on yontif. Havara is mutter on yontif. It's one of the malachas ochel nefesh that is mutter on yontif. So, that's true for every yontif, with notable exception to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, even though it's a yontif, it's one of the moadim, nevertheless, there is no heter to make fire on Yom Kippur. There's no heter of ochel nefesh on Yom Kippur. And so therefore on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to make a fire. So now, the Chachamim wanted to remind us that Yom Kippur, a fire is going to be asur. So what's the reminder? So once Motzei Yom Kippur comes about, and now we're going to be using a fire for the first time in the last 25 hours. So therefore, you're going to make a bracha on fire on Motzei Yom Kippur, as there's a reminder to tell us that fire was also Yom Kippur. Well, this reminder is only good if this fire was around during Yom Kippur. And that's exactly the point of the Gemara. That if it's Or Shabbos, if it is fire that rested on Yom Kippur. rested on Yom Kippur. Let's take a look at Rashi. Inside Rashi writes, or Sheshava, second line down in Rashi from the top of the Amud. Shaya b'shahaya b'shabashadalaka yom omikamakom emlechas avera shavas. So this fire was around, but did not violate any malacha, meaning no one violated the malacha of Yom Kippur in order to light the fire. Shadalak v'heter kagon, shel chaya v'shel chola. So either it was lit on Yom Kippur v'heter, because somebody who was in the state of sakana needed it. Oh, ner hadoleg me erev Yom HaKippurim. Or simply, somebody lit it before Yom Kippur. Umevarchen af b'motzei Yom HaKippurim. So on such a fire, now you're going to make a bracha on Motzei Yom Kippur. Why? Rashi goes on to explain. De'ahi, because under those circumstances, bracha mishum de'davar chidushu lo shalo nene min ha'or ayom. Because over the course of the day, we couldn't have a fire. Or let's say it even better. You couldn't light a fire over the course of Yom Kippur. So the fire on Motzei Yom Kippur is there to remind us that we were not allowed to light a fire over the course of Yom Kippur. Good. So now what comes down in the Gemara now is that there is a brachas ha'or on Motzei Shabbos. There's a brachas ha'or on Motzei Yom Kippur, but they're different. The bracha of or on Motzei Shabbos, that's a hazkara. That's a reminder of the first fire that was created by Adam on Motzei Shabbos, the first Motzei Shabbos. The bracha of or on Motzei Yom Kippur, that's a reminder that Yom Kippur fire is usur. Good. And leading us to the halacha, the major halachic difference between the Birchas Or on Motzei Shabbos and that of Motzei Yom Kippur, and that if on Motzei Yom Kippur you didn't have an Or Sheshavas, you didn't have a fire that was not involved in malacha, meaning there was no fire was lit over Yom Kippur Beheter, or simply put, you didn't light a fire before Yom Kippur, so then you cannot light a fire for the first time on Motzei Yom Kippur and make a bracha on it. What do? It's very simple. You just simply don't make a bracha on Or. Meaning that the only time you're going to make a bracha on Or in Motzei Yom Kippur is only if you had an Or Sheshavas. But if you didn't have such an Or, so you're not going to make a bracha. Okay, we try to remember on Yom Kippur to light a Yahrzeit light on Yom Kippur so that you would have an Or Sheshavas after Yom Kippur is around. But if you don't have one, okay, so you don't make a bracha. The Gemara is now going to punctuate all this with a couple of braises. Tinichad, that we're back in the Gemara. Tinichad or ayotim and aitzim, or min ha'avadim avarchin alav. One braisa says that if you have a fire, min ha'aitzim and min ha'avanim, meaning you started the fire, so then you make a bracha on it. V'tinichad ein avarchin alav. And another braisa says you don't make a bracha on it. Lo kashikam b'motzei Shabbos, kan b'motzei Yom Kippurim. But now, of course, we know the difference between the two braisas. And that is the braisa that says that you don't make a bracha on it. That's talking about Motzei Yom Kippur, because again, the purpose of making bracha or birchas or on Motzei Yom Kippur is to remind us that this fire was usur. The only time it's a reminder is if the fire was there on Yom Kippur, meaning it was lit before Yom Kippur, or it was lit beheter on Yom Kippur. But a fire that was started for the first time on Motzei Yom Kippur, you're not going to make a bracha on it. The braisa that says that you do make a bracha on a fire that was lit on Motzei Shabbos is talking about just that. It's talking about Motzei Shabbos. Rabbi Mefazon, Rabbi Chia Machnes Mechansan. In terms of making all the brachos, so when do you make the bracha on Motzei Shabbos? So Rabbi was Mefazir. Literally, that means it was all spread out. Rashi points out, Rabbi Kishira'a or Mevarech Alav Miyad, Ukishimivin La Besamim Lesof Sha'a Mevarech Aleim. Meaning, as far as the minhag of Rebbe was concerned, when he saw a fire for the first time on Motzei Shabbos, birchos ha'or. When he got his hands on spice for the first time and be able to smell it, birchos besamim. Meaning, Rebbe did not consolidate everything together in one havdalah like we do, but rather as he received each one of them, as he received benefit from each one of them, so he made a bracha. And Rabbi Chia Mechansan, Rabbi Chia does what we do. And that is that he bundles everything together. Meaning the fire and the besamim and the coast, all that is put together and they're all said as one bundle. So Amar Debei Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, or probably Rabbi. Yep. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Afa Pi Yisheh, Rabbi Mefazon Chosef Vesojan Alakos Kedei Lahotzi Banav Vnei Vesa. Now even though it's true that we just clarified what the minhag of Rabbi was, in that, as he saw fire for the first time, he made a birchas ha'or, and as he had besamim, at a later point in time, he made a birchas besamim, but it's true, but once he got home, sojourn alakos. So what he would do is he would make havdalah when he got home. Why? Banu v'nei vesa, because family members. And family members most probably means his wife. So they need to hear Avdallah, and so therefore he would repeat Avdallah again on behalf of his wife. Major machlokas rishonim as to whether or not women are chayv in Avdallah. Rambam Shita is that women are chayv Avdallah min HaTorah. Rambam understands that Avdallah is really just the other bookend of Kiddush. Meaning Kiddush is indicates the beginning of Shabbos, Avdallah indicates the end of Shabbos. We know that when it comes to Kiddush, women are chayv in Kiddush midda araisa. Even though the mitzvah of Kiddush is a mitzvah, sesei shazman gram, it's a time bound mitzvah. Nevertheless, women are chayv in Kiddush. How do I know that? The Gemara in Brachos, the back end of Chaf, says that we'll call it a hekesh. It's not exactly a hekesh, but anyway, the Aseret Dibra says Shamar in one place, Zachor in another place. So whoever's chayv in Shmira, in safeguarding Shabbos, is also chayv in Zechira, in mentioning the Shabbos, otherwise known as Kiddush. So women who are obviously chayv in Shmira are also chayv in Zechira as well. Good. That's the Gemara in Bracha. So we know that women are chayv in Kiddush, and that's a mitzvah min HaTorah. What about Havdalah as well? So the Rambam understands that Havdalah is just simply going to be the other side of Kiddush, right? They're bookends of Shabbos. So you have Kiddush, you have Havdalah. So women are chayv in Kiddush min Daraisa. So according to the Rambam, women are chayv in Havdalah min Daraisa as well. So not everyone is on board with the Rambam. So a number of Rishonim say that no, the only chiyuv of women is for Kiddush, but not Havdalah. Havdalah is something totally separate. Okay, so for these Rishonim, so women are pater from Havdalah altogether. Not perfectly clear. Within this camp of Rishonim, it's not perfectly clear in terms of whether or not women are pater legamrei from Havdalah or they are chayv midrabanan in Havdalah. Shulchan Aruch comes out that what we should do is that women should try to hear Avdallah from a man. Men are for sure chayv in Avdallah, and women should hear from a man. If a woman doesn't hear from a man, so then she should make it herself. Okay. Anyway, so all this, but from the Gemara, we know clearly that Rebbe went home even after he himself made Avdallah in order to make Avdallah for his household. Now, it could be, again, now making full circle over here, it could be his household is his wife, and that would be a great support for the Rambam. Could be his household is just simply other people in his house, kids in his house, whatever the case may be. Okay, we are continuing in the Gemara. We're in Nundal Amad Alf, we're at the second wide line, and so we just finished, let's call it the first topic of today's daf, and that is the bracha of Or on Motzei Shabbos and on Motzei Yom Kippur as well. And we know the distinctions between the bracha that we make on Or for Motzei Shabbos versus that which we make on Motzei Yom Kippur. Remainder of the Amud Aleph going into the Amud Beis. So Divrei Agadita. The Gemara is going to go over some ideas, some concepts. Let's get underway. Or b'Motzei Shabbos Divrei. So the Gemara says, you mean to tell me that light was created for the first time on Motzei Shabbos, v'atanya. The Gemara says, I don't think that's right. We have a brisa that tells us otherwise. Okay, this is going to sound very much like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. In fact, on the side, you could see that this is in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos. It's also Mechilta as well. Asara dvarim nivru be'erev Shabbos. There were 10 things that were created on Erev Shabbos. Bein Hashmashos. So in other words, the basic idea is like this. The Ramban says this on Chumash, that as far as creation is concerned, there were two parts of creation. There was creation in terms of Yesh Me'ayin, creating something from nothing. That was the ex nihilo. So that was the first part of creation. And then after that, there was molding and shaping and putting everything into position. So we're going to take that Ramban, just kind of borrow the idea over here. The basic idea that we're going to see together is that, look, even after creation, there were miraculous events, but everything was embedded within creation, meaning all future events that were, quote unquote, miraculous. But the truth of the matter is that they were around during creation. They were put into creation. It's not exactly the same as the Ramban. The Ramban describes how even before the 7 days of creation, so there was a Yesh Me'ayin, right? And from there, everything was formed and shaped, right? What the Gemara seems to be saying over here is that during the 7 days of creation, so things were created for future events. And now what we're describing over here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's final acts of creation. The Gemara over here is describing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu made during Bein Hashmashos, meaning to say that we are now at the tail end of Shivas Yemei Breishis. Well, I should say better, the Shishi Yemei Breishis, right? The 6 days of creation. So now as we're entering into Shabbos, and Shabbos obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested. So during the Bein Hashmashos period, right as we are at the threshold of Shabbos. So Kadosh Baruch Hu made the following 10 items. The Eluhain, and they are, number one, the bear, the well, number two, the man that came down during the Midbar, number three, the Keshet, the rainbow, number four, Ksav, number five, Michtav. Ksav and Michtav, so it's not perfectly clear what that's describing. Rashi here offers two pshatim. I'll just say over Rashi's first pshat, Ksav, Rashi writes, Kriya Shem HaOsios, the declaration of the letters. And then the Michtav, Rashi writes, is the Chakika San Vitzura San, exactly what the shape of each of the letters is going to be. So in other words, according to this first pshat of Rashi, there's like letters as an abstract, and then there are letters in terms of how it's concretized. Okay, Rashi offers a second pshat as well. You can go on in Rashi, see there. Anyway, Luchos, right, that's the Luchos. And then Kivr Shel Moshe, the place where Moshe is buried, Ma'ar Shamad Bo Moshe Ve'Eliyahu, cave where both Moshe and Eliyahu stood, Psichas Pia Ason, the mouth of the donkey that spoke to Bilam, Psichas Pia Aretz, the mouth of the earth that swallowed Korach, Ve'Adaso, Livloa Eser Rishayim, and Reb Nechemya Omer Mishum Aviv Afa Or Ve'Hapered. Now, according to Rabbi Nechemya, so he said in his father's name, so even light and even parrot, even the mule was created on Banish Mashas period. Rabbi Yoshia Amar Mishum Aviv Af Ha'ayel V'Hashamir. Even the isle, even the Shamir. So the isle over here, Rashi says, we're talking about the isle of Avraham. The Shamir, right? The, I'd say mythical, but according to Rabbi Yoshia, it's not mythical. So the, the animal that was used in terms of helping create, building the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afatzevis. So, and Rabbi Yehuda also adds to the list of things that were created during the Beis HaMikdash, the first pair of tongs. Huaya Omer Tzifsa B'Tzifsa Mit'Avda. Meaning, how do you make a pair of tongs? So you need a pair of tongs in order to make a pair of tongs. V'Tzifsa Kamaisa Manavin. So leading now to the following riddle. How do you make the first pair of tongs? So, ha la'ai barya bide shamaimhu. So the Gemara says, okay, so conclusion must be that the first pair of tongs must have been made by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, amalei, so the response is, nah, efshe yasenu bidfus v'ikvenu kivon ha la'ai barya bide adamhu. So the Gemara says, no, what you could do is you can make a mold and you can make the first tongs in a mold that you created. And from there, you can make your second pair of tongs, etc., etc. Anyway, okay, so leaving the discussion, the debate, as to whether or not the first pair of tongs were divinely made or man-made. But what comes out over here is that if you noted the things that are made on Bein HaShemashos, so one of the things that's made during the Bein HaShemashos, at least according to one of the opinions, not according to everybody, is ore. So the light was created during the Bein HaShemashos. So we are right now seemingly in a stira. We're saying that the first ore that was created was by Adam during Motzei Shabbos. Here in the Brisa that we just quoted, so according to an opinion, or was created on Erev Shabbos. Lo kasha haba or didan haba or de gehenim. So the Gemara says, well, we're talking about different types of or. The or being described in the Brisa that we just went over, that's talking about the or shel gehenim. As far as what Adam Rishon did on Motzei Shabbos, or didan, our fire, the fire that we use on this earth, the first one was made by Adam on Motzei Shabbos. Or didan by Motzei Shabbos, or de gehenim by Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says exactly that. The Gemara says, now, are you right about the Or of Gehenna? I don't think you're right about the Or of Gehenna. Let's consider the following. V'hatanya, we have another brace over here. Shiva Dram Nivru Kodim Shenivru Olam. There were seven things that were created before the world was created, Ve'elohein. And they are, so this is now even pre-creation. And that is number one, Torah, number two, Tshuva, number three, Gan Eden, number four, Gehenna. Number five, Kisei HaKavod. Number six, Beis HaMikdash. Number seven, Shmo Shel Mashiach, the name of Mashiach. And now the Gemara is going to cite psukim that are going to be ramazim that help us see that these items were created even before Maisa Bereishis. So Torah Dichsiv, Hein Kanani Reishis Darko. And Tshuva Dichsiv, Beterem Harim Yivaldu. Uksiv Teshev Enosh Ad Daka Vatama Shuva B'nei Adam. Okay, you'll forgive me. I'm not going to go through each one of the psukim. But each pasuk is a good source that teaches us this idea that all these things were created before actual Maisa Bereishis. Gan Eden Dichsiv Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan BeEdem Mikedem. Okay, from before. And Gehenem Dichsiv Ki Aroch Meas Motifatem. right? The Navi's description of Gehenna is me'es mol. It was from yesterday, meaning from a time before. Kisei hakavod beis hamikdash tichsiv kisei hakavod marom mirishon makom mikdashenu. So the pasuk over there indicates also that it was mirishon. It was an original. It was from before. And shmo shel Mashiach tichsiv yishmo la'olam lefanai shemesh yanun shmo. So the shmo shel Mashiach was always around. Okay, so what do we have over here? So what we seem to have over here are stiras. We're saying now that the Or Shel Gehenim was created on Erev Shabbos. We just learned a brisa that says that the Gehenim was actually created before Maisa Bereishis. So Amri Chalalu Denivra Kodem Shenivra Olam Ve'Or Didei Be'Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's how we're going to say it now. That the actual, the crevice, the area of Gehenim, so that was created before the world was created. In terms of the fire of Gehenim, so that came about on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara continues to clarify. Vor di day of Shabbos every time. The Gemara quotes another brisa. Rebbe Yosi Amar Or Shabbara Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Sheni B'Shabbos Ein Lo Kviyala Olam. The Or that Kadosh Baruch Hu created on Monday. Okay, this is a news flash, right? None of us knew this, that that there was a fire that was created on Monday. So the brisa over here says, so and that fire, so that fire never goes out. It's eternal. So Shinemar Vyatsavaru Bifigra and Ashima Poshim B, Ki Sola Asam Lo Samuz Va Asham Lo Sikhbe. So this fire never goes out, the fire of Gehenim never goes out. And Vamarabi Banabred Rabbi Ula Mimne Malonemar Kitov Bishin Bishabas. And now with this Mesorah that we just learned together, so now we understand that on Monday it did not say Kitov. Why didn't it say Kitov? So it's funny. You look at Rashi and Chumash will say a pshat. Our Gemara here in Pesachim, so it says a different pshat. And based on what we just learned together, Mim Nation Ivra Bo Or Shel Gehenim. So the fire of Gehenim was created on Monday, and as a result of that, it's simply not a good day to describe it as Kitov. Okay, you ever wake up on a Monday morning and feeling a little bit low? Now you know the reason why. The Amar Rebbe Elazar Afapi Shalonemar Bo Kitov Chazav Kalala B'Shishi. Now it doesn't say Kitov on Monday, but it does repeat so on Friday. Shenemar Vayarlakim is called Asher Asavi Hine Tov Maod. So that extra Tov that comes on Friday is to make up for the lack of Tov on Monday. Where are we right now? A little bit confused in terms of the sequence of creation. So the Gemara over here now gives a full picture of how it all went down. Ella Chalala Kodem Shenivra Olam. As far as the crevice of Gehenna. So that was created before the world was created. Good. That was stage one. Stage two. V'or didei b'shen b'shabbos. Its fire was created on Monday. Good. Stage three. V'or didam b'machshava l'ali baros b'erev Shabbos. V'lo nivra ad mosei Shabbos. Now as far as stages four and five. So, I'm sorry. As far as stages three and four. So, Or was created on Friday. But not actually. In concept, Or was created on Friday. Right, that's the Allah b'machshava. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the idea, again, to the best of our understanding, what does that mean? He had the idea, but he had the idea well before Friday, but whatever. To the best of our limited understanding. So the concept of fire came up on Erev Shabbos, and that's what we described earlier. That was the Erev Shabbos creation of fire. And then Motzei Shabbos, it actually came into being. And Velo Nivra Ad Motzei Shabbos. And the actual fire came about on Motzei Shabbos. The Tanya will enter the price. Rabbi Yosi Amar Shein Dvarim Alu B'machshava Libars B'Erev Shabbos. Velo Nivra Ad Motzei Shabbos. Two things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought to do on Erev Shabbos, but didn't do until Motzei Shabbos. If a Motzei Shabbos, Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Deya Ba'adam Arishon, Me'in Dugma Shal Ma'ala, Ve'evi Shnei Avanim V'tachnan Zubazu, V'yatza Mehem Or. So, and then on Motzei Shabbos, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, yes. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he gave the wisdom, the idea, and passed it on to Adam Rishon. What you're going to do is you're going to take two rocks, two sticks, and rub them together in order to make a fire. And on top of that, he also took two animals and he crossed them in order to make a mule. Okay. Interesting. There is an opinion in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that one of the Shiva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is not to crossbreed. And what you could say over here is that, number one, we don't necessarily subscribe to that view, or what you could also say is that Adam HaRishon was given a particular dispensation at this point in time. whatever the case is. Now we are finally laid out a full picture in terms of Gehenna, the fires, and the other fires. So as far as Gehenna is concerned, that was Kodem Ma'aseh Bereishis. As far as the fire of Gehenna, that was Monday. As far as the fire here on this earth, Kadosh Baruch Hu thought to do so on Friday in terms of actual. So that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the day of for Adam to do so on Motzei Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Pered Bimei Ana Hayam. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that the mule, the cross between the horse and the donkey, so that came during the days of Ana. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Hu Ana Asher Matza Es Hayamim Bamidbar. So Ana. So the one of the sons of Esav, one of the progeny of Esav. So he was the one who was responsible for the mule, at least according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. Darshei Chamuros Hayu Omrim. Now Darshanim would say the following: the term Darshei Chamuros, right? So Rashi explains over here that they explain pesukim that are really difficult to understand. So Ana Pasulaya Lefiha Chavi Pasul Olam. As far as Ana is concerned, so he was a product of a forbidden relationship. And therefore, he's a product of a forbidden relationship. He created something from a forbidden union. Shenamar Elu B'nei Seir Achori V'ksiv Elu B'nei Tzivon V'ayava Ana. Ela Melamed Shabbat Tzivon Alimo V'holi Mimenu Ana. So what happened was is that Tzivon had relations with his mother in order to produce Ana. So Ana is both the son and brother of Tzivon. Right, one of those Yavamos type situations, and the Gemara for a moment entertains Vidima Trei Anahavo. Now, do you have to say that? Can't you just simply say that there are two Anas? So Amar Rava, Amin Amilsa, Deshvor Malka Lo Amra Umanushmo. So Rava says, well, I'm going to say something that's new, something that has not been said by Shvor Malka. Now, he didn't mean Shvor Malka. Shvor Malka was the Persian king. He actually meant Shmuel, but sometimes his description of Shmuel is that, look, Shmuel's like a king. Rashi on the bottom of the Amud goes on to explain, Shmuel's like a king because Shmuel, the halacha always follows like him when it comes to dinei mamonos, and when it comes to anything which is economic, anything which is financial, Shmuel's the final word. So in that regard, he's like a king. So the Gemara says so. So Rava describes Shmuel like a king, so sometimes he describes him as Shvor Malka. Anyway, so, but the point over here is that Rava says, I'm going to say something that Shmuel never said. Now, in another version, it was Rav Papa was going to say this big chiddush, and he's describing the king, but when Rav Papa describes the king, he's actually talking about Rava. Either way, Amakra, hu ana demikara. What's the big chiddush? So the big chiddush is that if you read the pasuk really carefully, the Torah describing ana says, hu ana, meaning it's the same ana, right? The one that we described earlier is the same one over here, which means that he had relations with his very own mother, it was his father who had relations with his very own mother in order to produce Ana. So Ana now is a product of a forbidden union, a union between his mother and his brother, making his brother his father. Okay, I know all that's confusing. So anyway, but the point is that he was the product of a forbidden union, and therefore he created the Pered, which is a cross between a horse and a donkey, a forbidden union. Adkan, anyway, that takes us to the end. What came out from that entire discussion, that really long discussion, is when exactly was the Or created? We got from all that, right, nearly an amud of discussion, a lot of things obviously, but the main point of the Gemara over here in the context of our daf is that Or was finally created by Adam Arishon on Motzei Shabbos, Tanu Rabbanan. As long as we are here, so the Gemara now is going to be discussing a little bit more in terms of the various creations that were created on Erev Shabbos during Bein Hashmashos. So Tanu Rabbanan Asar Dvarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos Ve'elu Hein. Now, yes, it's true, we just quoted this Braisa on today's daf, so we get Chazara on the same day. So, and they are Be'erev Man Keshes Ksav HaMichtav HaLuchos Kifur Shemoshe Ma'ar Sha'amad Ba Moshe Ve'eliyahu Psichas Pi'asam Psichas Pi'aretz Levloas Arishayim. Good. So for a translation, go back to what we said earlier this morning. V'yeshomim af maklosha aron shkediyah parecheha. So in this brisa, so we're going to see a couple of new opinions that we didn't see previously. So according to the Yesh Omrim, that's also coming to include the staff of Aaron that sprouted, the almonds and the flowers. Yesh Omrim af ha-mezikin, and some say that mezikin were also created during this time, during the Bein HaShemeshos period. The Yesh Omrim af bigdo shel Adam Rishon, the garment of Adam Rishon, the garment of Adam Rishon. Top Rashi over here. Right, this garment is really exciting. It is spoken about often. Rashi and Chumash brings it down as well. Rashi says the big dosh Adam Rishon Shayu Chakukus Bo Kol Min Chayu Vehema Vehu Nimsar LeNimrod. So this garment had images of every known animal Chayu Vehema. This and presumably it allows for domination over the animals. Then Rashi points out that the garment was given over to Nimrod. Al King American Nimrod Gibor Tzayid, right? Nimrod the great hunter. So now we understand that Nimrod had a little bit of help in terms of him becoming such a successful hunter. The Ace of Haragu Venatlu. Now Ace of killed Nimrod, right? And you can put together a number of Midrashim. When did he do so? So he was 15 years of age, right? Rashi brings on in Chumash that Avram died. Avram did not want to see his sons. His grandchildren, I should say, becoming Rishayim, or I should say his grandchild becoming a Rasha Esav. So therefore he died. We know that they were 15 at the time. Anyway, so Esav killed at that point in time Nimrod. And now Esav took the coat. Leficha chaye ish tzayed. Now we know that Esav was described as ish tzayed. Hein shekasa bahem achamudos asher ata bebayis. V'ani shemati begaz shaladam rishon hainu kasnos or shayulo. And Rashi says that I heard that the begadim of Adam Rishon, that's a reference to the kasnos or. Anyway, good. So the so some say that this begad was actually created during the Bein HaShemeshos period. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan. Shiva dvarim mechusim mimnei Adam Elohein. Seven things that are just simply unknown. Right? By design, they are unknown. We are not meant to know when they are. So number one, Yom HaMisa, the day we're going to die. Number two, Yom HaNechama, the day in which we're going to be comforted. Rashi describes over here the Yom HaNechama, shall call Adam Ashay Yitnachem Midagaso. Like eventually, we're going to stop having anxiety. We don't know when that day is going to come, but it's going to come. The Omek Hadin. Rashi describes over here the Omek Hadin, HaRov Toenbo, Inami Omek Adin HaAsid. So the either Omek Adin is how you're judged by others, or Rashi describes the Omek Adin over here being the future judgment. Number four, In Adam Yodea Ma Belibo Shel Chavero. Another unknown by design is that we don't know what other people are thinking. Number five, In Adam Yodea Kama Mistaker. I'm sorry, Bameh Mistaker. So we don't know how we're going to profit in this world. We don't know how we're going to make money. It's an unknown. Number six of Amachus Beis David Matai Tachzor. When is Machus Beis David going to return? Number seven, Amachus Chayevis Masai Techale. And when is the Roman Empire going to come to an end? Okay. All seven of these things are unknown by design. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want us to know them. Tanu Rabbanan Gimel Dvarim Alu Bemachshava Libaros Im Lo Alu Din Hu Shiyalu. Here in the Braisa, we're going to be describing three things that were created. And they are intuitive in nature, meaning even had they not been created, well, they sure should have been. It's a funny comment by the Bryce. I'm not perfectly clear what that means, but basically, there's a certain common sense element to the idea, to these particular ideas. Number one, alamishi yasriach, the fact that a body decomposes, which does what? It forces us to bury the body. Now, if the body didn't decompose, so then what would end up happening is that those that we loved die, and they're going to just simply be around. And we're not going to be that prompted to bury them, and it's just simply, it's not healthy, right? The healthier way to live is to bury the dead. Number two, alameshi ishtakech min alev, and not only that, but forgetting. Forgetting is a bracha. Now, granted, there are many times when we prefer not to forget, but on the other hand, however, forgetting is a necessary component of life, and the Gemara says that is, that's critical. Number three, valatvur shetir kaf, also, the fact that grain rots, that's a really good thing. Because if grain doesn't rot, so what's going to end up happening is that it's going to be hoarded, right? People with means are going to hoard the grain, and so therefore you're going to have a total lack of distribution in terms of the economy. So the fact that grain, by definition, in Ratso, it's gonna promote the economy to move and to flow. Yeshomim ala manbeah shiyatza, also currency. Right, current, the fact that there's such an idea, concept of currency, and the fact that it's able to circulate, so that's also another concept that if it's not, hasn't been created, it's intuitive in nature. Now, exactly what that means, that currency was created, it's a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the concept of currency, I'm not perfectly clear what that means, but okay. Anyway, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Agadic section of today's daf, which is most of today's daf. Okay, we are starting the Mishnah. Remember, theme of the fourth parak over here is Minhagim. So now we're going to be discussing other Minhagim. So the Mishnah over here begins, Makom Shenagu Lasos Malacha B'Tisha B'Av Osim. Makom Shenagu Shelo Lasos Malacha Ein Osim. So on Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av, obviously, a day, a Yom Tzom, in which we fast. So it is already found in the Navi to fast on Tisha B'Av. However, it's a Din D'Rabbanan. Nevertheless, there is no Isser Malacha on Tisha B'Av per se, but many have the minhag of not doing work on Tisha B'Av. So some have the minhag where they do go to work on Tisha B'Av, and once again, it's subject to minhagim. So uvechom makom tamid chachamim b'telem now. Regardless of where you are, meaning even if you live in a community where the minhag is to work on Tisha B'Av, but if you're a Talmid Chacham, you should cease and desist from working on Tisha B'Av. We'll talk about it in the beginning of tomorrow's daf. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer La'olam Yaseh Adam Atzmo Talmid Chacham. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that a person should conduct himself like a Talmid Chacham. That Shita Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel we're going to be discussing also in the beginning of tomorrow's daf. Amar Shmuel. Big part of the remainder of today's daf is going to be all associated with the statement of Shmuel, which is Ein Tanit Tzibur BeBavel Ela Tisha B'Av Bavad. There's only one public fast day in Bavel, and that's only Tisha B'Av. And there simply is no other public fast day. Rashi over here comments, and Rashi writes the following. Ein Tanit Tzibur BeBavel, there's no public fast day in Bavel. Rashi writes, Ho of Ein Tzrichim L'Geshamim Im Gozim Al Davar Acher Ein Chomer Tanit Tzibur No Igbo Lechol mi ba'oyom v'leser ma'malacha v'shar chomrei ha'amurim sham. So, in Eretz Yisrael, so there was a public fast day that was set up, multiple public fast days that were set up, in the event that there was no rain, right? I'm just giving a little bit of background for this Rashi. And when we get to the Masechta Tanis, we're going to see this in detail, in tremendous detail. So how there was an institution of public fast days in the event that there's a lack of rain. Rashi writes over here that in Bavel there was just simply no need for that, meaning there was just not a need for rain as great in Bavel as there was in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is mountainous, Eretz Yisrael needs rains. Bavel was lower lands, and Bavel by definition was fertile. You had two tremendous rivers running through Bavel. Anyway, so being that there was no need for rain, so there was none of these really serious fast days. Now Rashi writes over here that Maybe there was a reason to make a gzerah for a quote unquote public fast in Bavel, but it's not going to take on the full rigors, the full chomer hatanis as would a public fast day over rain. And you wouldn't start the fast on the evening prior, and there wouldn't be an Isra Malacha. Good. So Shmuel says that in Bavel, the only day that's going to take on the full effect of a Tanit Tzibur is only Tisha B'Av itself. Any other fast day is going to be, let's describe it as a minor fast day, but there's not going to be any kind of public fast day in Bavel. Lememer desav Shmuel Tisha B'Av benesh mashu shalo aser. So what does that sound like? It certainly sounds like that according to Shmuel, that Tisha B'Av, so not only do we start fasting on the night prior, but even during the benesh mashu's period. The Gemara says, I don't think that's right. V'amar Shmuel Tisha B'Av benesh mashu shalo muter. It happens to be that we have another member of Shmuel that says that on Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to eat during Benesh Mashos. Meaning when it's Laila Gam or when it's definitely nighttime, so you don't eat on Tisha B'Av. But during the Benesh Mashos period, you're allowed to eat during Tisha B'Av. Now, v'chitem, akasav Shmuel, kol tanya sibra, Benesh Mashos shalom muter. So, okay, so what do you tell me? So what you'll tell me is, okay, maybe there's no stira over here. On one hand, Shmuel says that the only day that is going to have a Tanit Tzibur status in Bavel is going to be Tisha B'Av. And on top of that, maybe Shmuel also holds that a standard Tanit Tzibur, so the fast begins only at Vaday Laila. And maybe during the Banish Mashos period, there's no requirement to fast, even on a standard Tanit Sibur. And now everything works out. So because Shmuel says that the only day in Bavel that's going to have a Tanit Sibur status is Tisha B'Av. Shmuel also says that on Tisha B'Av you can eat during the Banish Mashos period. You only start fasting when it's Vada Laila. And it could very well be that Shmuel just simply equates a Tisha B'Av with a Tanit Sibur, and Shmuel holds that a Tanit Sibur, you start fasting Avada Laila. All that sounds really good. The Gemara says, however, we know otherwise. Or at least we think we know otherwise. On the other hand, we're going to look together at a Mishnah in Tanis. The Mishnah in Tanis says that when can you eat on an Erev Tanit Sibur? Only mi ba'od yom. Only while it's still day. What does that sound like? Lemote mai lav lemote ben hashmashos. So the Gemara says it sounds like once you hit the Banish Mashos period, where it's Safek Yom, Safek Laila, at that point in time you have to stop eating. That now is problematic. So the Gemara says, Lo lemute mishecha shecha. So the Gemara says, no, maybe the way to understand the Mishnah is that no, once it's Vada Laila, then you stop eating. So name a Messiah, Ein Ben Tisha Bavli Yom Kippur Melech Zeh, Sveiko Asif Zeh, Sveiko Mutter. So now the Gemara is going to want to try to support this Pshat. Because now what we are saying within Shmuel is that on Tisha B'Av, when do you start fasting? Only Vaday Laila. As with the Tanit Sibur as well, when do you start fasting? Only when it's Vaday Laila. So in the Banish Mashos period, you don't have to fast. And now the Gemara says, let's support this based on the following. We learned together in a Braisa that the only difference between a Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is that this one, Sfeiko Aser, right? Presumably that's Yom Kippur, because that's a Tanis Min HaTorah. And Zeh Sfeiko Mutter. And for the other one, meaning for Tisha B'Av, Safek is going to be Mutter. So my Sfeiko Mutter, La Ben Hashmashos. So the Gemara says, so I think I know what the Pshat is. The Pshat is that on Tisha B'Av, the Safek is the period of Ben Hashmashos. Because Ben Hashmashos is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. And so, excuse me. So maybe what's meant over there is that for the Suffolk of Ben Hashmashos of Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to eat, and meanwhile the Ben Hashmashos of Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat. Now that would sound to be a fantastic shot, and it supports what we're saying now in defense of Shmuel. So the Gemara says, "No, you don't have to say that. Actually, you could say a totally different shot in that brisa." So it could very well be that the pshat is in terms of kviya diarcha. So what does that mean? So presumably what it means is that, look, we don't know when Rosh Chodesh is. Again, we're talking about before the calendar was fixed. We don't know when Rosh Chodesh is. So what we're going to do is that we're going to observe 2 days of Yontif. And that's true for Sukkot, and it's true for Pesach, and it's also true for Shavuos. Go back to what we learned in yesterday's daf. Actually 2 days ago. But anyway, the top of Nun Beis. But anyway, so we observe 2 days of Yontif when we don't know when Rosh Chodesh is. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is that, the simple pshat of the Gemara would be that not only are we going to have 2 days of Yontif, but we're also going to have 2 days of Yom Kippur. Meaning that in a place where we don't know Kviyat Diarcha, we don't know when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, and to account for the fact that there are two candidates for when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, so not only are we going to be observing 2 days of Yontif, but 2 days of Yom Kippur as well. That is a possible way to explain the Gemara, as opposed to Tisha B'Av, which is only a Din de Rabbanan, so then we're going to only observe 1 day of Tisha B'Av. That's a way to understand the Gemara. That's a simple way to understand it. Tosus over here, Tosus Divra Maskel L'Kviyat Diarcha, he says, no, don't say that pshat. Because even in places where where we don't know Kviyat Diarcha, where we don't know which day of Rosh Chodesh is, even there you only observe 1 day of Yom Kippur. The Tosus says that in Bavel, they only observe 1 day of Yom Kippur. Right, it's interesting. It needs explanation. Why do you only observe 1 day of Yom Kippur? If legitimately, they didn't know which day Rosh Chodesh was, so it certainly is curious why it is. But Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that you only observe 1 day of Yom Kippur. Tosfos therefore gives a different shot in our Gemara over here. See Tosfos for how it goes. Basically, right, without going through it inside. Basically, the idea of Tosfos is that even if you live in Eretz Yisrael, but you just simply have no communication with anybody, and you literally, you yourself have no idea when Rosh Chodesh was, so you're going to have to observe 2 days of Yom Kippur. Okay. See Tosfos for more details on that. Anyway, we're going to stop over here. Darash Rav is we're going to pick it up tomorrow morning. And now we have an opportunity to review. We start off our morning with the bracha of Ma'orei Ha'esh that we say on Motzei Shabbos. So the Gemara says that we say it on Motzei Shabbos. Do we also say it in Yom Kippur? On Motzei Yom Kippur? So that was cause for controversy. That was the first part of today's daf in terms of whether we say it on Motzei Yom Kippur. The conclusion of the Gemara is we do. However, the Gemara noted that the bracha that we say on Or for Motzei Shabbos is not the same for the bracha that we say on Or on Motzei Yom Kippur. The one we say on Motzei Shabbos is all going to be a result of that was the Bria Sa'or, the first fire that was created on Motzei Shabbos by Adam HaRishon. So therefore, in order to commemorate it, we make a Bracha Sa'or on Motzei Shabbos. However, for Motzei Yom Kippur, we're making a bracha for a totally different reason. To remind ourselves that lighting a fire in Yom Kippur is Aser. So therefore, if we had a fire around during Yom Kippur that was Beheter, right, that fire was a Shomer Yom Kippur, meaning the fire was not lit Be'isr on Yom Kippur. Rashi gave a couple of examples of how it could be lit Beheter on Yom Kippur, or more simply, it was just simply lit before Yom Kippur. So for that fire, you're going to make a Berachas Ha'or on Motzei Yom Kippur. We discussed briefly the halakhic differences between the two. That prompted the Gemara then to go into a long tangent of Agadata in terms of the fire being created by Adam Rishon and Motzei Yom Kippur. And we talked about the last acts of creation by HaKadosh Baruch Hu during Bein HaShemashos on Motzei Shabbos. We went through the Mishnah Pirkei Avos two times this morning in terms of the things that were created, the last acts of creation during the Bein HaShemashos going into Shabbos. Good. And that was the end of the Amud Aleph, and that took us into the Amud Beis. And then we started the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah talked about the minhag of not working on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, which is not a din d'oraisa. It's a takanas chachamim. It's a rabbinic day. So, but nevertheless, so because of the fact that we are mourning the Beis Hamikdash, so some have the minhag not to do malacha on Tisha B'Av. Some have the minhag to do malacha on Tisha B'Av. So yesh v'yesh. There are various minhagim. How should a Talmid Chacham conduct himself? So we're going to discuss in more detail tomorrow. In the meantime, our discussion on the Amud Beis has been revolving around the statement of Shmuel. Shmuel says that the only day in Bavel that has Tanis Sibur status is only going to be Tisha B'Av by itself, which means that on Tisha B'Av, what it sounds like is that you have to fast on Tisha B'Av, not only the night prior, but even the Bein HaShemashos of the night prior. You're going to have to fast. But the Gemara says, but we know that Shmuel doesn't say that. We know that according to Shmuel, you're allowed to eat during the Bein HaShemashos of Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara defended, the Gemara suggested that maybe Shmuel's position is that you're allowed to eat during Bein HaShemashos, not only on Tisha B'Av, but even on Tanis Sibur as well. And we defended that viewpoint, and that's where we end off this morning.